الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الظاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Yesterday we left our at this stage that on the subject that what are the effects, what is the effect in our lives that we have when we have faith in Nubuwwat and Imamat. And in this regard I was explaining yesterday that Anbiya, all the apostles of Allah, all of them are masoom because Allah sent them. And just by the fact that Allah sent them, they are masoom. They are infallible. And in this regard, we see that there is a chance for the Anbiya to do what we call harke awla, which means to leave out the best option of all the options that are there for them. And here we see that the Anbiya, and we have this in the history, that they have done this. And they had made this harke awla, where they had the option of doing what is the best and doing what is good. So they chose to do good rather than the best. And this happened to the Anbiya, to the apostles of Allah. And we see that it could be imagined about all the Anbiya that they could do this, but in regards to our Prophet, to Rasulullah, here we see that since he is the last of the messengers, since he is the seal of the Prophet, and there's no other apostle who's going to come after him. There's no other Rasul who's going to come after him. That's the reason why we see that the ismat and the infallibility of our Rasul is such that he does not even do harke awla. Whatever he does and whatever he has done was the best thing that could ever have been done. In all the offers, whatever he has done was the best thing in that situation that could have been done. So now we see that whatever he does is the best option there was. This is the iman we have in his infallibility. Meaning when we as a Muslim accept the fact that Rasulullah is masoom and that he is the messenger of Allah, what we mean to say is that not only is he infallible, but whatever he has done was the best thing that could have been done at that time. There was no other option that was awla than what he had done. So for example, if he does anything, it is awla. If he is going to turn this way, this was awla. If he was going to turn away from someone, this was awla. If he was going to stand up for someone, then this is awla. If he was going to get rid of someone, then this is also awla.
Yes, yes.
You see that? Meaning whatever he has done was awla. There was no other option that you could say that he, if he had done this, it would have been better. Whatever he has done was awla. So now this is the iman we have in Rasulullah. And from here we want to continue. And I want to end this in a short while. That when we see this is the case and this is the iman that we have in him, now we must analyze the situation that Allah sent Islam through him. Meaning Islam, the basis of Islam, the foundation of Islam is Rasulullah. Meaning his ismat is the basis of Islam. And without him, Islam would be nothing. Meaning, if you don't have him, then Islam would be just a book of rules without any life or meaning in it. It is only through his ismat that Islam was handed to us, that Islam was understood by us. So now we see, if he was going to leave, then the foundation of Islam would also be destroyed. Because he himself is the foundation of Islam. He himself is that. So now we see that that person who has at that level of infallibility, when he is leaving, so now, when he is leaving, now the only way that this could be rectified are two. There are two ways that could that this could be rectified. Either Allah extends his life, Allah extends his life till the day of judgment, so that as long as we are here and we have Islam amongst us, we can understand Islam through him. Or he takes Islam with him, because if he leaves it with us, we will destroy it for sure. And we have done. We have done that. You see that. When he left Islam, he himself has prophesied this to us, that Islam will have how many sects?
73
sects. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Allah is going to explain Islam in 73 different ways?
No.
Or Islam is all of these types? And these are the understandings of Islam? Or this is the definitions of Islam in all these 73 sects? No. There is only one Islam. There is only one Islam. And then all these other sects that we call sects are people who took Islam in their own hands and went away from it. That's all it means. It means there's only one Islam. There cannot be more than one Islam. There's only one Islam. Inna dina inna Allah al-Islam. There's only one Islam. He did not say that this Islam is going to be amongst all you Muslims. 73 sects, go ahead. And in that hadith it's mentioned. Out of that, there will be one sect that is going to be successful and that's going to go to heaven. The rest are in hell. So now, what it means is the fact that there is only one Islam. That which is called Islam is what Allah has sent and what Rasulullah had brought. That those things that are those sects are the things that Allah has sent, Rasulullah had brought, and people have understood. See, what people have understood are those sects. So again, Allah is not responsible for their misunderstanding. Rasulullah is not responsible for their misunderstanding. So now we see, if Rasulullah leaves Islam in our hands, then we are ready to destroy it. So he can't do that also. So we ask him for two things. Either you take away Islam back where it came from, and let us lead our own lives. Or Allah extends his life. Allah extends his life so we can understand Islam through him. These are the only two ways. Now let me explain this to you if you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There are only two things he could do. There's one thing that we can do also. But the issue is that we can't do it. There's also one other way. That's from our side. And that is, if we can become like him. See, if we can become like him, then yes, we can also understand Islam. If we can gain the infallibility that he has, we can also understand Islam. If we can gain the intellect that he has, we can also understand Islam. My brothers, understand this. Even if we want to, even if the whole world decides that let us all try to become like Rasulullah, even if we all try, we cannot become. Even if you all want, we cannot become. Even if you all desire, we cannot become. So if this is the case, Allah is saying the same thing. I did not leave my religion up to your desire. I did not leave my religion up to your wanting about what you want, what you desire. That's the reason, even if you desire, you cannot become masoom like Rasulullah. But what if Allah desires it? Understand this. What if Allah wants it? Then who is going to stop him from making someone like Rasulullah?
No.
Understand this. Who is going to make him? Who is going to stop making Allah from making someone like Rasulullah? That's the reason he said, even if you want to, you cannot become masoom. This is the reason Allah is saying, innama yuridullaha.
Yes.
It is Allah who intends, and Allah who wants, and Allah who desires to make you pure, O Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see this, my brothers. This is the reason that we see. Allah is saying, innama yuridullahu. It is Allah's irada. It is Allah's intention. Allah wants to do this. So if Allah wants to do it, who is going to stop it? If we want, we cannot achieve it. But if Allah wants, he can make people and he can choose people to be like Rasulullah. So this is the reason. This is the reason why we see when Allah announced the fact that there are people who have infallibility, that whom Allah has cleansed, that who Allah has made pure. Allah has announced that in the Quran, and the term he uses is Ahlul Bayt. The term he uses is Ahlul Bayt. And the same term was used by Rasulullah when he announced those who are going to be in charge of the religion. And he said, Inni tarikun fikum thaqalain. Kitab Allahi wa itrati Ahlul Bayti. That I'm leaving behind me two things. One is the book of Allah, and the other is my lineage, my Ahlul Bayt. He introduced his idrat by the word of Ahlul Bayt to make us understand that the same Ahlul Bayt Allah has made pure. So that they can understand the Quran and that they can teach the Quran is the same Ahlul Bayt I'm leaving in charge of you.
Yes.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa alaikum.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So this is where imamat comes from. That is nabuwat, this is imamat. Nabuwat brought the religion, and imamat gave the religion. Nabuwat gave the religion, imams protected the religion. And this is the reason why we see both of them, when we have iman in them, they are the same line. When we have iman in the fact that this is Nabi or this is Rasul, when we accept them as Nabi and Rasul, when we have iman in them, so what are its effects in us? What are the effect of having iman in Nabuwat and Imamat? When we believe that they are masoom, as this introduction I gave you. Now I just want to explain to you what is the effect of having iman in them in us. And this is something that when we understand it, when we look at our relationship with Rasulullah, when Allah mentioned our relationship with Rasulullah, He mentioned it with a term. And He wanted us to use that term. And He said that whenever you and Rasulullah are going to be mentioned together, then the term in between will be called Shahadat. Understand this. The term it between will be called Shahadat. Meaning, he said when you give the azan, What do you say? You say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. You say that I give witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Yes.
In Iqama, you say the same thing. In Salat, you say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Abduhu wa Rasuluhu.
Yes.
I give witness that this Muhammad is the servant and messenger of Allah. So now, Allah says that your relationship with Him is depending upon witness. Mm-hmm. Meaning when you say you have iman in Him, He wants you to say shahadat. Mm. To give witness to that. So now when you give witness to Him, you are witness to Him. And shahadat means, in worldly sense, to see something with your eye. To see something with your own eyes. This is called shahadat. I gave witness, means I saw it. Or in spiritual sense, it means to understand something so clearly that as if you are seeing it. To understand something so clearly as if you are seeing it with your own eyes. This is what it means when we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. That we see Him clearly. We understand Him clearly. So now we see, we, in other words, are looking at Rasulullah. And Allah says about Rasulullah that if He's Rasul, wa Rasul alaykum shahida, that Rasul is a witness unto you. Rasul is looking at you. So now my brothers and sisters understand this much. This shahada that we give and we build our relationship with Rasulullah, what it means is that we are looking at Him. He is looking at us. We are watching Him. He is watching us. We are seeing Him. He is seeing us. So if we are looking at each other, how can disobedience come in the middle? How can sin and masiyat come in the middle? When He is looking at us, we are looking at Him. Then, you see, if this is the case, then sin cannot come there. Disobedience cannot come there. That's the reason. Believing in Nabuwat and Imamat, the natural effect of it is that you become muti and you have ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Hey,
Hillary!
And this is the reason, my brothers, we see, that when we see, when we are saying that we are giving shahadat, that we are witnessing, that we give witness to this, it means what? That we are looking at Him. If only Rasulullah was looking at us, it would be different. See, if Rasulullah is looking at us, it usually happens that, for example, if you don't know anyone is looking at you, you can do whatever you want. And you do. And that's the reason why they say that, you know, when you go into, for example, there's a word that is used for washrooms, right? In Arabic, in Farsi, in this and that, it's called khalwat. That's the place where you're alone.
Uh-huh.
You're alone that other people cannot see you.
Some places.
Yeah. But here, obviously, you know, this is public. But it's called, what do you call that? It's called khalwat. Why is it called khalwat? Because no one is watching you. And when no one is watching you, you can do whatever you want. When you're alone, you can do whatever you want because you know no one is watching you. At least as far as you know. Now, for example, if you know that someone is watching you, then remember, even that which has to come out won't come out. If you know that someone is watching you, you know that something that has to come out won't come out. Why? Because there are certain things that you just can't do in front of others. You see this? You can't do it in front of others. So now we see sins are the same way. If you know someone is watching you, then you will see that there's no way that you can sin. If Allah had only said that Rasulullah is watching you, if He is watching you, then the time you don't remember that, you will also do whatever it takes. Disobedience will come in. But when you always go on saying Ashhadu, it means that I am watching Him watch me. I am seeing Him see me. I am giving witness that He is witnessing me. So that means that this Iman requires you to have obedience in Allah. If you don't have obedience in Allah, it means you don't have Iman in Rasulullah.
Yes.
See, understand this. If you don't have obedience in Allah, if you don't obey Allah, it means you don't believe in Rasulullah.
Ya Allah.
It's just a name for you. Yes, you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, but it's only a name for you. You have never, you have not understood what Ashhadu means. You have not understood what Shahadat means. Shahadat means that you are saying, I see Him see me. I give witness that He is watching me. So if that is the case, you will not do anything wrong. You will not make a mistake. This is the reason, the natural result. The natural result of having Iman in Rasulullah and having Iman in the A'imma is that we become obedient towards Allah. This is the result of that. And now, just to make it easier for you to understand, let me give you an example. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, there's me, you and this other person are very close friends. We have always been close friends. You two were always close friends and you introduced him to me and, you know, we are close friends for years. Let's say we are really close friends. We hang out every day and this and that. So now what happens is that one day, you two had a fight. You two had a fight. Some conflict, personal conflict, whatever it was. Now you hate each other. Now let's say you two hate each other. And next day I meet you. I meet you and says, so, where's the other brother? He says, listen, I don't want you to speak about him. If you're my friend, you shouldn't see him. But until yesterday you didn't say that. And this is not yesterday. This is not every day. This is?
A new day.
Why? Because we had a fight. We had a fight. And he is wrong. And I don't want to see him. And I don't want you to see him also. Now I go to him. See this. Understand this. And he also says, listen, if you want to meet me, I don't want you to meet him. I don't want you to meet him. Why? Because we fought with each other. Now he's my enemy. Since he's my enemy, I don't want you to meet him. Why? Because this is a natural thing that when you do not like someone, then you don't want your friends to see them and be friends with them. You don't want your friends to be friends with your enemies. You don't want them to know you. Why? Because if you want to be my friend, the condition is you should not be his friend. If this is understood by human beings in their own personal relationships, if the world understands this in their own relationship, then this can also be understood in what Allah is trying to say and Rasulullah is trying to say. This is the reason why Imam Baqir al-Islam had said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You say that if you are our friend, then you will not be the friends of those who hate Allah. You cannot be the friends of those who hate Allah. And if you are their friends, then it means that you are not our friend.
Yes. Exactly.
It means that you are not our friend. Why? Because if you are Allah's friend, if you are our friend, and if that person hates Allah, how can you befriend him? This is the reason that when you love Ahlul Bayt, then you will hate everyone who does not. Mm-hmm. You will hate everyone who does not. And you will hate sin itself. This is the reason we have to decide what is more important. Is the love of Ahlul Bayt more important? Or is disobedience to Allah more important? So whenever we disobey Allah, it means that we are making this friendship that we have as Ahlul Bayt null and void. Whenever we disobey Allah, this is the result of that. This is the reason when we have friendship, this friendship requires us to obey Allah, to be obedient towards Allah. And this is the reason, my brothers, this iman we have in Nabi and Imam is to make us obedient to him. It is through them we understand Islam. It is through them we learn how to be obedient. And if it wasn't for that, then you see what's happening. Those who don't have Imam in their lives, imagine what happens to them. You cannot obey Allah because you don't know what he wants from you.
Exactly.
You don't even know what he wants from you. So you have to make up what Allah wants. And you do that whenever you become the Mufti, Grand Mufti. When you become the Grand Mufti, Grand Alim, then you say, well, this is what Islam says. Uh-huh. And he has no idea what he's talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is the reason why. Because there is no Imam to tell them. There is no Imam to guide them. There is no Imam to show them that this is what Allah wants. No, they read an ayat of the Quran and say, this is the case. Uh-huh. And hence, with such ignorance, you see that they change their Islam and they make their own religion and they say this is obedience to Allah. So this is the reason, my brothers, we must understand. We must understand that obedience to Allah can only come through Ahlul Bayt. And having Iman in the Imams leads us to the obedience of Allah and the Itaat of Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, just a few words I want to say right now, and then more, inshallah, we'll discuss about it, you know, from tomorrow, inshallah. But right now, some few words I want to say about Laylatul Qadr. As we are going to do the amal for Laylatul Qadr, to have an understanding of what Laylatul Qadr is, and what Allah has said about Laylatul Qadr, you know, that, imagine this day of Laylatul Qadr. Allah has said, in, for example, when He says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr," we have revealed the Quran in laylatul qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr? What do you know what laylatul qadr is? And whenever this is used, this sentence, this phrase is used, it is to show you that there is something important. There is something that Allah regards as important. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. You don't, it means that you don't know what is Laylatul Qadr yet. You haven't realized it yet. And then he says, Laylatul Qadr خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ الشَّهَرِ. It's to give you one view of Laylatul Qadr, what Laylatul Qadr is. It is more than 1,000 months. So du'as in this night are worth 1,000 times more. Not just 1,000 times, 1,000 months more than this day. This night is equal to 1,000 months. Now how much is 1,000 months? That's closely about 88 years. 88 years is a whole lifetime. In other words, Allah is saying this night is equal to your whole life. This night is equal to your whole life. Now the thing is that when you do ibadat here, it's like doing a whole life of ibadat. And this is the reason why we see that the emphasis, you know, we have on Laylatul Qadr is such that really we don't really invite people. Allah never invited people to come to Laylatul Qadr and pray. You see that. Encourage that. Why? Because there's only advantage for them in it. You know, the advantage of Laylatul Qadr is for the people. The doors are open to gain whatever treasures you want. The risk of your whole year is decided tonight, what you do tonight. How much you make dua tonight, how much you pray tonight, is going to decide the risk of a mu'min. Risk, right? Important to understand risk, not wealth. Wealth destroys you. Risk is that which gives you life. Understand the difference between risk and wealth. A lot of people think that money is risk. Alhamdulillah, I got money. But they don't know that this wealth that they have can harm them, can destroy them. But no, risk is that out of that money, that is risk which gives you life. Right? Which is able to give you that peace of heart. This is risk. And this is what we must understand. A lot of times we see that Allah gives risk and He apportions risk. If we are here and if we make dua and ibadah tonight, and if we remember Allah tonight, Allah is a witness to this. Angels are a witness to this. He apportions your risk. And He gives your risk and increases your risk when you do it tonight. So we ask for risk from Allah, not for wealth. Wealth can come, but it does not have to be risk. If it's not risk, you will see that it's going to destroy you. It's going to take you away from Allah and Islam. It's going to take you away. That's why you want risk from Allah. If you want your risk to increase, then make your du'as tonight. Make ibadah tonight. And remember, my brothers and sisters, remember this one thing. And this is a natural justice of Allah. And this is the way He has done. You know, this is something that I want to repeat it as much as I can. And I will keep on repeating it so that we get this in our mind. That, you know, Allah, He gives things to us as an amanat. And an amanat is a trust that we have. It means it's not ours, it's going to go away from us. It's going to go away from us. The amanat is going to go away from us to the one who is the rightful owner of it. So when the amanat is given to us, then this amanat is going to go away from us whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not, this trust is going away from us. And this is the reason why we see that when Allah gives you the amanat, the only thing that He wants to see is that if you give it back voluntarily. If you give it back voluntarily. If you don't, then He has His ways of taking it away from you. Because it wasn't yours in the first place. It wasn't yours in the first place. Take that which Allah gives you. Do not think that if you don't give here, you will use it. No, Allah has His own ways of taking it away from you. And you see, one thing happens and everything goes out and your bank account is clear. Now you're worried. If you had given it in Allah's way, if you had emptied it in Allah's way, Allah is promising you He will return it to you in the same year. 10 times more. See that? Allah is promising you that. And imagine if we can just fathom that idea, then we would know that our time that we have is an amanat from us. Give that time to Allah and you will see that Allah will increase our risk. Make ibadah to Allah, you will see that Allah will increase us. Give it in Allah's way and you will see how Allah increases us. But we see instead of there, we think that, well, we really are not sure if Allah is going to give it back or not. We give it somewhere else and you see what happens. The world is full of examples. You can just look around and you will see the examples. You will see the examples all around you of how people lose whatever they have. Instead, they had the chance to give it in Allah's way. They did not. And Allah takes it because it was never yours in the first place. It was an amanat. It was an amanat. It wasn't yours to keep. And this is the reason, my brothers and sisters, understand what we must be doing in this night of Laylatul Qadr, asking Allah to increase our rizq, and also making dua for others. By making dua for others, Allah helps us and He also forgives our sins. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance, to hasten the reappearance of our Imam, to make us His helper when He comes. وآخر الدعوان أن الحمد لله رب العالمين صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.